Hello, everyone. Can you guys hear me okay without my headphones? I would love to be headphone-less tonight, if that is possible. Yes, ma'am. Awesome. How's everybody doing? This is going to be a fun call. Going to get my whiteboard over here. We already got hand raised. This is awesome. All right. So I'm going to talk for, I bet it's not even 10 minutes to explain the call and explain the concept. And then we will coach, okay? So, hello, I'm just watching everybody come in. All right. Awesome, okay. So, this call is called The Relationship with Your Overeating Self. So, I bet y'all read that and were like, I'm not even sure what that means, right? Well, I'm gonna tell you what that means. So I've been doing, as you all know, I've been doing a lot of studying on relationships lately. And I've been reading books. I've been listening to podcasts. I've been listening to Corinne. I've been doing all things relationships. And honestly, many times our issues with our relationships are seated in how we talk to ourselves. So what we're going to talk about tonight and take a look at tonight is the self-talk beatdown you may be giving yourself when you overeat. So how many times have you said to yourself, I'll never get this? After an overeat, I'll never get this. I don't know why I can't stop eating at plus two. I can't even find my plus two. I'll always be overweight. Or my personal favorite that I used to tell myself, I'm such a loser. This type of talk should be sending up red flags, y'all, for you, that you are not looking for solutions. All you are doing is sitting in that little spin cycle of negative self-talk. You're indulging in all the reasons why you can't stop eating, so you might as well just keep eating. That's the easy thing to do, right? Let's just tell ourselves that, you know, we'll always be overweight. That way we can stop, we can, you know, just keep on eating. We don't have to do any work. I know this. Y'all, this was me. Before I met Corinne, I knew I'd be overweight my whole life. I just knew it. My whole family was overweight. My father, when my son Jason was born, my father weighed 400 pounds. And honestly, he lost a couple hundred pounds throughout his life, but he was still overweight. He was 5'10", and he probably kept about 220, 230 on. It's no wonder he had bad knees and ankles, right? So I just knew, because he was overweight, because my grandmother was overweight, my aunt and uncle were overweight, that it was just in the genes. It was destiny. I'm always going to be overweight and feel miserable. And honestly, that kind of talk is almost as bad or worse than the beatdown talk. Because that's the talk that's total acceptance. That's the talk that's just like resigned. Right? I've talked about that on the podcast. I'm just resigned to being overweight. So self-talk can be tricky. More than once, Corinne has stopped me and said, listen to what you just said. Does that really feel good? And when I listened, it seemed, sometimes the thoughts seem kind of innocuous, subtle, when in fact, the thought is harmful and stops progress. These are thoughts like, I'm fine like I am. That doesn't hurt too bad. Or I'll try again tomorrow. Right? Those thoughts that just have you giving up or resigned. You know, those are the ones that you got to watch for. So what do you do when you see them? There's three steps. Corinne talked about them on a Facebook Live not too long ago. I'm going to go over them with you. You ask yourself when you overeat, what do I make this overeat mean about me? Okay. So let's say it's one of those thoughts like, I'll never get this. I'm not smart enough to understand where my plus two is. I'll never understand where my plus two is. One of those subtle thoughts. You question that thought. You say, is that the truth? Does that really feel good? Do I really want to believe that thought? Is that thought really relevant? Will I really never get this? I know I won't if I stop trying, right? So you start that internal dialogue. You question that thought. Then As you're questioning that thought, you ask yourself, what does that thought mean about me? This is where the rubber meets the road, right? If that thought is full of self-judgment, you gotta back the truck up. You have to clean that up before you even get to think about the overeat. So let me give you another example. Let's say I overeat dinner tonight, and I think, well, that was an overeat. I'll pull out my discovery worksheet, see what happened. I know what happened. I just didn't want to stop. I'm going to catalog this. I'm going to write about it, and I'm going to see what I can learn, right? That thought is step one. That thought in step two, what I make that mean about me is that I'm going to learn from this overeat. I'm going to see what happened. I'm going to be okay with it because I know it's normal, but I really want to see what happened. I want to see what I could change for next time. Okay. But if I overeat dinner tonight and I say, good grief, I always overeat dinner, I'll never get this. And step two is, what do I make that mean about me? Self-judgment land. I'll never get it. I'm a loser. I'm not smart enough to get this, whatever it is, right? The self-judgment land is what you have to watch for. Because if you're sitting in self-judgment, in the dirty diaper, in the whatever, Corinne calls it, step three is not available to you. And step three is, as you get out of judgment land, you take a clean look at the overeat and go to work on figuring it out. So if you can keep from beating yourself up about overeating or eating off plan, you're going to look for the solution. But if you're in judgment land, playing in your dirty diaper, you know, doing whatever it is, you know, spinning and spiraling, you're not looking for a solution. All you're doing is beating yourself up. Okay? So when you are in step three, you're not in the beatdown, you're figuring it out. How do you do this? Okay, how do you figure it out? I'm going to give you some tips. Ask yourself, what would a coach say about this? Because, you know, Betsy and MJ and I, we don't have any emotion tied up in your overeats. We would look at your data. We would ask you questions from a very, very clean space. We call it a clean space. No emotion. All we want to do is help you figure it out. That's it. So we ask you questions. So you would ask yourself questions. So what would Kathy say to me at this time? Would she call me a loser? Or would she say, so tell me about what was going on around you when you had this overeat. So tell me about what you were thinking at the time. You see what I'm saying? That's the kind of questions you ask yourself. It's called self-coaching. And it's called having your own back, right? It's called being self-accountable. Then you tell yourself, or you can tell yourself, if I wasn't beating myself up right now, what would I see? I love this question. I ask this a lot. If you notice on coaching calls, if somebody says, I don't know, I'll say, take a guess. If somebody says, I'm afraid, I'll say, if you weren't afraid right now, what would you feel? Right? Sometimes you have to remove that top layer of whatever indulgent, you know, thing you've got going on, thought or feeling you've got going on, and look underneath it. So here's how you know if your thoughts are judgment-free about the overeat. Okay? If you are judgment-free, you're not considering restricting. You're writing a realistic plan. Interesting, right? Okay, I had an overeat. I can only eat broccoli tomorrow. That's judgment land, y'all. That just means I'm not going to get this unless I have broccoli all day tomorrow, which is not true because the broccoli doesn't solve that. I have a private client who went through February without drinking, and I thought that was brilliant, right? Let's see what's going on around her drinking. March 1st comes around. She had 2 glasses of wine planned. She drank 4. So the restriction of the no wine February didn't teach her how to manage wine in the moment. All it taught her was how to manage the urge when she'd already told herself she wasn't going to have any. Interesting, right? It didn't teach her how to handle the urge in the moment when the decision was made to only have 2 and a third one was given to you. So you're making your realistic plan. You're not considering restriction. You're doing honest assessments, not beat down assessments. You're really looking into the thoughts and the feelings that led to the overeat without judging them. You're understanding yourself. You're becoming more aware of what you're thinking. And you're asking for help, right? You're getting on a coaching call. You're at doing, you're hitting up Ask Coaches. You're in the Facebook group. You're doing all those things, okay? Because you're open to, you're asking your accountability groups. Because you're open to trying something new, thinking something new. Somebody offer me a thought. You know, what does that feel like to you? All those kinds of things. You're looking for your next best step. Okay? You're doing your discovery worksheets. So when you're talking to yourself after an overeat, remember the three steps. What am I making? What am I thinking about the overeat? What am I making that thought mean? And how can I move forward? What do y'all think? Does that make sense? Pretty interesting stuff, don't you think? All right. Any questions? I'm going to pop up the chat real quick. Did she say you don't restrict the next day? Yeah. Yeah. If you're not judging your overeat, you're doing a realistic plan. You're not restricting. Think about it. I can't do this unless I only eat broccoli tomorrow. I can't do this unless I restrict everything out of my plan. That's not true. That's you overreacting to an overeat. Does that make sense? Everybody got that? Laura Massey says yes. All right. I feel like I need to compensate for a big overeat. Jessica, I want you to raise your hand because I want to know why. Why do you have to compensate? What you have to do is find out why you had the overeat. Okay? See what the trigger for the overeat was. See what was going on in that moment. Because you solve the overeating by figuring out what's going on in your head. If you just turn into only broccoli tomorrow, what do you think you're going to do the next day? You're going to be like, I'm starved to death. I'm going to have to eat something, right? No restrictions, y'all. That doesn't solve it. What solves it is figuring out what's going on in your mind and getting yourself out of judgment. Okay? All right. Let's see what this Q&A says, and then we'll get to some coaching. I don't feel I have overeating. I just have not been planning. Been eating 2 to 2, packing healthy food in my lunch bag. So that is all I have to eat. Why aren't you planning? I'm just curious. Why aren't you planning? I mean, I'm glad that you're eating 2 to 2 and all that, but I'm curious about why you're not planning. Are you just not writing it down? Do you actually have a plan because you're packing your lunch? Or what? What if I overeat every week, same day, same time, and I just can't seem to figure out how to end it? That's when you ask for help. If you can't figure it out, you either talk to your accountability group about it, or you get in Ask Coaches, or you get on a coaching call. 100%. That's exactly what you need to do. Oh, yeah, and Christy reminds me, and do a discovery worksheet. Okay? Because once you figure that out, once you pay enough attention to it, and it might take several overeats of finding your trend and finding, you know, what's going on around you in order to figure it out. And that's okay, right? Because you're doing the work to figure it out. I'm judging my whole process. I'm a September baby and have made minimal progress. Well, that's why you're not making any progress, because you're judging. What if you weren't judging? What if you weren't telling yourself, I'll never get this, or I haven't made any progress? What if instead you were saying, I'm going to write a plan tomorrow and figure this out? You see, there's just a subtle mind shift that goes on there that helps you look forward rather than back to September. Right? What can you do tomorrow to move the needle just a little bit? Can you give examples of non-judgmental thoughts around overeats? Absolutely. I have them. More than I'd like to admit. Thoughts like, I'm at plus three, I'm going to do a discovery worksheet. Easy peasy, right? Thoughts like, I really want to figure out what was happening right now. You know, why did I overeat? Was it the TV? Was it the friends? What can I do better next time? How can I pay more attention? Those kinds of things. You know, it's when you look at the overeat as something that just happened rather than something that, you know, you shouldn't have done or you should do better at. When that should word comes in, that's a red flag for judgment. Okay? So you just look at it and you say, okay, I had a binge. What was going on at the time? I want to figure this out. I'm not a bad person because I had a binge. It's just part of the behavior I'm learning about. Okay? All right. So I'm going to take, there's more Q&A. I'm really struggling with nighttime eating. It has been the one thing I cannot seem to figure out. I've tried lots of things. I even wake up in the middle of the night and eat. Are you doing discovery worksheets, Lisa? I would do them every single time. Okay? Because that indicates that you want to figure it out. That's it. That's what I would do. I would, as soon as you know that you're overeating, I pull out the discovery worksheet. And y'all, don't wait till tomorrow or the next day or when you do your weekly assessment. You're not going to remember all the important things. Do it as soon as you know you've had the overeating. Okay? What if you know the trigger, but it triggers every time? Work stress. Okay. Work stress is not the reason you overeat. You have a thought that creates stress at work that creates the overeat. Identify the thought. Work your model, okay? So you have work, something happened. You have a thought. You have a feeling, stressed. And you have an action line of eat. Pen's running out of ink. You identify this thought, and you're gonna figure out what the trigger is. The trigger is not work. It's a thought. Because you don't eat the entire time at work. Sometimes you have a good day, right? Sometimes you're not eating at work. I had an overeat earlier today, and I'm still stuffed, so not eating dinner. Doesn't feel like restriction. Just am still so full. Switch my dinner plan for the family so it's their favorite instead of mine. It doesn't feel restrictive to me, but is this? No, you're doing the right thing. Going to write about it tonight as well as see what was up for the overeat. Absolutely. You know, if you're not hungry, you just don't eat. And that's okay. Right? And if you, I had a super late lunch a couple of days ago and I didn't have dinner. That's okay. I wasn't hungry. My body didn't need it. So Debbie, I think you're fine. That's not restricting. That's paying attention to your hunger signals. What about when you find yourself sneaking behind your own back? As in, this isn't on plan and I want it, so I'll just eat it real quick and only I'll know. Yeah, that's when you say, I'm going to know. It doesn't, you know, nobody else matters. This is Holly. Nobody else matters. You matter. Right? This is what I used to do this, okay? Ken would leave the house. I'd be like going through the kitchen. He'll never know. I'll have a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this. Just taste that. You know, whatever. It wasn't a binge. It was just a grazing cruise through the kitchen. But I knew what I was doing. I knew that I was breaking plan. I knew that I was eating when I wasn't hungry. That's all that matters. Nobody else matters. Right? You're the one whose self-judgment is what you have to look for. I feel like a part of my overeating brain is defiant. I have heaps of foods on my plan I don't eat, but choose to eat something off plan anyway. usually something I'd never usually eat. Then I say, I should do a discovery worksheet on that, but I always find a way not to do it. I'll print that out later. They're downstairs. I'll do it tomorrow. I feel like I'm so defiant. Yeah, you're a little rebellious. How's that working for you? Think about your model, right? You have an overeat. For some reason, you probably have a thought that says, I don't want to know. Oops. I don't want to know. Rebel. Yes. No discovery worksheet. No journal. And your result is no progress, no learning. That's what you're choosing. Who is this? Anonymous. That's what you're choosing, Anonymous. When you choose rebellion, you choose no progress, no learning. Y'all, the model, thought, feeling, and action, 100% your choice. 100%. These things do not happen to you. You choose them. You choose which thoughts you give relevance to. When you see a feeling come in, you choose to feel it or not feel it. Allow it or let it pass through. And nobody forces you to eat. Nobody forces you to not use your printer, to not journal. That's a choice. How do I set up a coaching call? I didn't know I could do this. I'm still figuring out what's available. So Nancy, there are opportunities for coaching calls several times a week. Basically, probably the easiest way for you to talk to a coach is on a call like this, where you just go in and you raise your hand. And that's, raise your hand is at the bottom of your screen. What is today's Monday? On Wednesday, the coaches have office hours from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Same thing. Come in and raise your hand. You get in line according to, you know, we raise their hand first and then the coaches call on you. Corinne has her office hours on Sundays at noon. Okay. So there's always two opportunities to talk to a coach on Zoom and sometimes a third, like tonight is a bonus call. So it's a third. What's the difference between CTFAR and a discovery worksheet? Okay, Nancy, CTFAR is the model. All right, so you have a circumstance, you have a thought, the T about the circumstance. That thought creates a feeling, the F line. When you feel that way, you do or don't do certain things. That's the A line. And when you do or don't do those things, you create a result. That's the R line. Okay, so it's the CTFAR is what we call the model, and it takes a picture, like makes a diagram of how what something you're thinking creates a result in your life. Phase two of No BS, all about it. The discovery worksheet is a two-page worksheet that you answer when you have an overeat or an off-plan eat. It helps you examine what was going on around you, what you were thinking and feeling, and how you would do it differently next time. Okay? All right, I'm going to get over here now to the coaching. Let's see who we've got here. All right, so if your hand is raised, make sure you're not on the potty. Make sure you're not driving. Make sure you're in a quiet place. Make sure your internet is good and stable. You know, everybody just do a quick check, and if your hand is supposed to be raised, that's great. If it's not, you might want to lower it, okay? All right, here we go. Laura, you're first. Are you there?
Yeah, let me start my video. There we go. There we go. Perfect. There we go. All right. So I raised my hand. I'm more in phase three I'm beyond the judgment of my overeating. I am awesome. Aware of it.
Okay.
The habit at this point, I have identified my habits through my discovery sheets and planning. And I keep coming back to the same habits and have tried multiple different ways to combat them with some success, not complete failure, but I'm not, I think that there's a better way and I just don't know what it is.
Okay.
So, the pattern that seems to come up the most frequently is that, I'm exhausted and tired. Mm-hmm. And for physically and both mentally. So I kind of have both things going on. Mm-hmm. So it's often at the end of the day, but it sometimes happens if I didn't sleep well or, you know, all those other reasons during the day.
Right.
I can't stop it. And I know it's happening. I'm aware of it. It's there, but I'm looking to feel better is what's happening. And I know that I'm looking to feel better. And so I'm trying to find something to feel better. And sometimes temporarily will make you feel better.
Okay.
And so, that one continually comes up. It's not always in my house. It's not always eating out. It's kind of every time. So when I'm tired and exhausted, I have to come up with better strategies so that I don't end up here.
Okay.
With this repetitive thing. And then the other one is eating out, but that one I'm doing a little bit better on. So I don't really want to necessarily focus on that. We can, if it comes back in, but I seem to get a better handle on that one and have gotten better at that. So I feel like I'm on a good path with that one. So that was the other area that it seems to crop up.
Okay. Tell me why you are physically and emotionally tired.
So I train for marathons and triathlons. Mm-hmm. In my previous life, before I was aware of my food issues, I would often reward myself with food for the amount of exercise that I did.
Sure.
So
I ran 15 miles today. I should have like 4 cheeseburgers.
Yep, you got it. Yep. Thankfully was an easy fix for me. That one didn't take me long. That one was like, oh, why am I doing that? That's so stupid. So that was easy. But now I'm just left with this tired feeling. I'm a mom of 2 young boys. I run a busy program that pulls me into 50 million ways during the day. And so I often don't have time during the day to process what's happening. And then of course I come home and I have dinner and dishes and all the things that come along with, just being a mom and a working mom. And, you know, and so that I am not in the mental space to where I feel like I, have the tools to catch myself before it's too late.
Okay.
And then I'm like, oh, dang it. I did it again.
Yeah, I love that you said it that way. Okay. And here's why. Because this also goes back to a thought. Sure, you're physically and emotionally tired. Okay. But you're using that as an excuse to eat.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put physically and emotionally tired in our C line.
Okay.
Why are we doing this?
Why is that my C line?
Yep. Because that's what you're feeling, right?
Yeah, yeah. It is a feeling.
Right? But you have a thought about this that gives you permission to overeat.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
So that's why we're putting this in the C line.
Okay. So this is where I was struggling before because I was like, well, but it's a thought that I'm tired and it's a thought that this is why I've had a hard time and gone round and round because I'm like, but then I'm like, well, but I ran 20 miles today. Of course I'm tired. Like I'm supposed to be tired. And so
I ran 20 miles. Justify.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Reward myself with food. Right?
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And the result, maybe
Well, I'm just plateaued. I'm not moving. I have 20 pounds to go and I'm not getting anywhere. I'm up and down 4 pounds.
Yeah. Well, you know, I ran 20 miles and I'm trying to make your result line prove the thought. So basically the result is you ate because you talked yourself into it.
Right.
Right? Because of the reward. Talked yourself into it. See how that works?
Yep.
That's pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
So instead of putting tired in the feelings line and figuring out why you thought you were tired, I mean, you've probably done that. It didn't get you anywhere.
Yeah. Right? No, I didn't. I kept like hitting the blockade and like, why am I not getting anywhere on this?
Right. That's why.
Yeah.
You were tired. But you had to come up with the thought that you had about being tired.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Well, and the thought is, you know, I ran 20 miles. I worked all day. I'm not a single mom. I'm a mom of two kids. I'm this. I'm, you know, all the reasons that justify you rewarding yourself with food.
Right. Right.
Okay. So this could have been any of those reasons you gave.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Yep.
So if we put physically, if we keep physically and emotionally tired in our C line,
mm-hmm.
Okay, what result do you want to create? What do you want the result to be?
That I honor my body by staying at under, you know, honoring my body by staying at 2+ and not going beyond that.
Honoring my hunger scale?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if y'all know, but this is my favorite way to work the model.
Is it backwards? Backwards?
Yes. Upside down, right? From the bottom up. I love thinking about the result I want,
mm-hmm.
and then working my way up the model. It just really clears things up for me. So if you're honoring your hunger scale plus 2, when you're physically and emotionally tired, what are you doing?
This is where I get stuck.
Picture yourself though.
Yeah, I'm trying. You know,
I ran today, I worked today, but I'm staying on hunger scale tonight. What am I doing?
So I think the first thing that comes to my mind is that I'm cooking dinner, or even if we're out and I'm eating, what I'll find myself doing is snacking, right? Mm-hmm. So I will, if I'm cooking, I'm like, oh, I better taste that. And then I just start tasting, right? So I've tried the plate thing. Doesn't really work. or just override it. Because my thought is not working.
Yeah. You choose not to let it work.
Right. That's right. So I don't have the right thought around it. So and then if I'm out, I'll like snack off of like my kids and like, oh, I want to taste that, you know, or I want to taste. And then all of a sudden I've like tasted everybody's plate. And then I'm beyond my 2+ when I was honored by it on my plate. And then I was like, oh, but look, there's other places. Mm-hmm. So it's, I'm going to call it snacking, but it has a lot of settings. It's not just one setting.
Well, maybe you catch yourself snacking.
Oh yeah. That'd be good. Yes. If I could just catch it.
Yeah.
Well, I would even take it one step further and just say, stop it, because I'm recognizing that I'm doing it now,
right?
But I'm not stopping it.
So you're stopping the snacking.
Yes.
What else are you doing or not doing?
The other part of me is saying that, you know, I try to relax with food, and that's where the feeling of fulfilling the tiredness goes away. Does that make sense? So, you know, it's like part of me feels it, but it's so unrealistic that it's never going to work. And so I'm like, but there's a part of my brain that wants to go there and wants to say, you know, I want to relax and I don't want to have to cook this dinner, you know, but then when we're eating, it doesn't work when we're eating out because I am relaxing.
Okay. So let's think of things that will work. How about having a glass of water, drinking a glass of water while you cook? Yeah, things to try. Y'all in the chat, let's come up with some things that she can try. So we can try water.
Okay.
You can try talking to yourself. Open up some inner dialogue. I'm that girl who sits at the kitchen, in the kitchen cooking, going, I should taste that. No, I don't need to taste that. I've made it 100 times. No, you know, really, you should taste that. No, I've made it 100 times. I sit there and talk to myself. Somebody says, count to 10. Somebody says, leave the room. Somebody else plans cooking snacks. I actually have a private client who plans nibbles.
Right? Oh,
she says, right. I can have 3 tastes or 1 taste. Somebody else, listen to PMP while you're cooking.
Well, I just said cup of tea or coffee. That would work. I would definitely do that.
Cup of tea. What else do you think you're willing to try?
So sometimes, you know, it's like I'm coming home from work and I just really what I want to do is just take a shower and go sit on the couch.
Oh, right? My gosh. Rest? Because you're tired? Innovative.
I know, but it's like, you know, dinner has to be made. The kids have to go to karate. The bags have to be packed. You know, it's like all these things. And so I'm trying to figure out how I could like make my brain think I'm resting without actually doing it. So one thought I had was, well, maybe I should just go change my clothes and I'm not in my work clothes. And then I'm just like in my comfy sweats or in my comfy things. And then I won't, maybe I'll trick my brain into thinking that it's resting and relaxing.
That, honestly, to wind down for the night, I will, I'll change my clothes and I'll wash my face. And it's totally, totally relaxing to me.
And that doesn't take very long. No. Like I could do that in 2 minutes.
Right. So these are some things that you can try, right? So in order to try these things, so you can hit your hunger scale, how do you have to feel?
Relaxed. I keep going back to that, you know, not stressed out, you know, my brain wants to be relaxed and I know that, you know, and but part of me feels like it's just unreasonable to think I can do that.
What about something like open or innovative or curious or something like that instead of relaxed?
I like curious because that's kind of where I'm coming to that point where I'm not judging this and I'm not getting super frustrated with myself that I'm doing it. You know, initially I was really frustrated and I was kind of in that phase 1 or 2 area of just really getting angry and whatnot. So now I have entered that phase of when I'm like, okay, like this is a habit. I've created a habit. I'm curious about this and I want to fix it, you know? So I definitely have, that's already kind of happening. I just don't have the actions to back it up.
Well, and you know, this is something, honestly, this action line here, you could post in the Facebook group and you would get a million billion suggestions on what to do. Mm-hmm. I've seen tons of them fly by. You ought to scan the chat when you're done. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
There were tons of them. So in order to feel curious about how to handle being physically and emotionally tired, what do you have to think?
Curious. I can figure this out.
Yeah.
I can figure this out.
Does that feel real to you?
Yes, it does.
I love it when people say they can figure things out.
Yeah, I think it's worked for me in a couple other ways. When I first joined the tribe, I was having a really hard time just planning every day. Like just getting my plan done was like an act of Congress. It was ridiculous. And I just said, okay, I just have to figure out the right time. And so I just kept trying. I didn't think about anything else for a whole month. But when is the best time for me to plan? How does it work? When is it happening? And so I like that thought because it has worked for me and I've done it with every basic all the way to this basic, which is the overeating, the 2+. I purposely am not conquering it until last. So I've got my other ones down. I just can't get to this one. So I feel like I can figure it out as something that is motivating to me and allows me to really hone in on what is the problem.
Yeah. I want to offer you another A line. I check on my fuel for these long runs. Make sure you're fueling yourself before and during the longs.
Yeah.
But you are not famished and exhausted when you're finished.
Yeah. I've been working on that.
Yeah.
Part of it, it feels more complicated to me. you know, over the years of training for these things, I've tried a lot of stuff and I had bad relationship with food, however, previously. So it was not necessarily healthy what I was doing. So now that I'm kind of really trying to hone in on this and honor my body, that is, you are absolutely correct. And I've really had to pay attention to the meal directly after a workout is really, really important. Like whatever that meal ends up being, whenever it ends up being, I have a harder time fueling during exercise. That's an area that has been difficult for GI issues and stuff. So I have, that one's a little harder. But yes, you're right. I agree. I think I probably have some thoughts and things around that I need to work on next.
Don't Stop Believing. I'm doing Don't Stop Believing.
No, I'm not doing Don't Stop Believing. Yeah. It didn't work with the timing of it. It was bad with my kid's schedule. So I was like, oh, I can't do it. But yeah, I would have loved to.
All right. Well, so does this help? Does this help you?
Yes. No, this is great. Off? Yeah. I feel like I can. Yes, I can do this. Yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I will talk to you later.
All right. Have a great night.
All right. You too. Bye. All right, let's see who's next. Jan. Are you coming?
Can you see me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Hold on one second. Can you give me a second, please? Thank you. Like 10 minutes. Sorry, I'm kicking my kids out of the room.
No problem.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about accountability. So right now is Lent. I'm Catholic. And the one thing that I did for Lent is I said, I'm going to follow my plan no matter what. And I started last Monday, so it's been about a week, and I am following my plan 100%. And it's crazy to me because there's no negotiation. There's no a little here, a little there. There's none of that. Like I see food in front of me and it's non-negotiable for me at all. So I wanted to do a coaching call to kind of tap into that part of me right now that's really dialed in 1000% to see like how I can apply that in the future when it's not Lent. So
it's a great question because you put skin in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your thought is I'm following my plan no matter what.
Yes.
What's the feeling?
Just about like me following my plan or about the promise that I made to God or
you're committed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Super committed.
That's what the difference is.
Yeah.
Committed. Commitment is magic. Now you have found a way to find commitment in Lent.
Yes.
You made a promise to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the secret sauce right there. You can be committed when it's not Lent. You can be committed.
I've been in it, Kathy, since what? January of 18.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm,
but you're choosing it now.
I am choosing it now.
Right.
And I feel like in the past, I haven't been 1000% committed because I'm still losing weight. So there's no reason for me to be 100% committed to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's probably another thought that I have is I'm still losing weight. So, you know, I can still have licks and bites here and there on my way down. It's not going to be as fast, but
yeah,
who
but
cares?
If you're having licks and bites, you're not committed unless they're planned.
Yeah.
Right.
And that one of, and that's, so two things that I've learned, in a week.
In a week.
Yeah. So I know that my realistic plans prior to this were not realistic at all because it literally took me a minute or two to create my plans. And now I am seriously, I was joking with my accountability group because it literally takes me like 10 minutes to really think about the next day and what I'm, where I'm going to be and what food I might come across. And so I can put it all on my plan because I'm not going to break my plan. So I really want to like set myself up for success and for it to be as painless as possible. So that's number one.
That's like the poster child for realistic planning right there, y'all. Everybody on this call is listening because she takes the time to make sure her plan is realistic so she can commit to it, because you're committed not only to yourself, but you're committed to this Lenten promise that you made.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. We think so.
I'm sorry, what was that?
The result of this model is that you keep your commitment, right?
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I want you to see. The C line doesn't have to be Lent. If you have this thought, I'm following my plan no matter what, this could be vacation. It could be work. It could be June. It could be holidays.
It could be.
Yeah, it could be. Because this thought for you creates committed.
I guess the one thing is that, like, it's a commitment that I guess that's just what I need to work on, is being more committed to myself and having my back, not just doing it because, you know, it's a promise that I made to God. So that's
make that promise to God 365 days a year. What makes Lent special?
Well, you know, it comes around once a year. I mean, what makes it special in this circumstance is it comes around once a year, and you know, it's 40 days as opposed to being another day. And, you know, just the fact that I'm just so very grateful for everything that I'm just 1,000% committed.
Yeah.
And not just with this, like every Lent season, I am 1,000% committed to whatever it is I say I'm going to do.
I totally get that. But I'm grateful 365.
I'm grateful 365 too.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, because if you're that committed to Lent, you're just not recognizing how committed you are 365.
You're right.
Yeah. So use this time during Lent to build your new habit so that when Easter comes, you've got it down. You know exactly what to do. And that day after Easter, or actually Easter Day, right, is the first day of, right? There's no negotiation. I know how to do this now. I've done it for 40 days. I'm sticking to my plan and I'm creating a realistic one because I know how to do this now.
Yeah.
Because I'm grateful 365.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that. I definitely need to do some TDLs on that, because I mean, I am grateful 365, and you know, that's just work that I have to do to kind of make that my, for that to be visible to me every single day.
You have the planner. Do you do the journal page every day?
I do.
Maybe your thought for the next few days, the thought at the top, the thought I'm working on believing about me is I'm grateful 365.
I like it.
Yeah. And then journal about it on your journal page, why you're grateful 365. You can be grateful in Lent. Absolutely. Right?
Yeah.
But I think you can be grateful 365 too. I am.
Yeah. Okay.
Sound good?
Okay. Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'll see you later.
Okay. Bye.
Right. Jessica. I hope y'all were listening. Her description of the realistic plan was genius. All right, Jessica, let's see what you got. There you go. You're in the laundry room.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Oh my gosh. This is my first live.
Well, welcome. I'm ready for you. Are you ready for me?
Yeah.
What you got?
Well, I think you kind of called me out in the chat earlier when I said I tend to compensate after I have a big overeat.
Oh, that was you. I love that you raised your hand because you're not the only one.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me, let's walk through the three steps. Okay. The last time you had an overeat was when?
Friday.
Okay. So was it like a huge overeat, a little overeat?
Oh, it was huge. It was grazing nonstop snacks at a like little wine tasting event at a friend's house.
Nice. Grazing snacks and wine. Okay. So what was your thought about the overeat?
Well, before the overeat happened, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to have a bite of everything, like one bite to taste it. I'm not going to go crazy. And then I started drinking wine and then I had a few more bites and then I just kept going. Like I made a plate and okay, I'll just have this plate. And then I just kept going. And then I had a full effort mode of,
All right. The A line is kept going.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What were the thought and the feeling?
Maybe at that point, who cares?
I don't care.
Who cares?
Like a question.
I don't care. Yeah.
Right. Nobody cares. Let's say that. Nobody.
That sounds sad, but.
Okay. And that, when you think nobody cares, what are you feeling?
Free. Like no one knows, like I'm going off plan.
Okay.
No one knows about my plan.
So your thought was about the overeat, nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include you?
Probably not really. Deep down, I had it in the back of my head, but I felt like...
So number two is, what do you think about that thought?
I don't feel like nobody cares as woe is me. Just like nobody cares because they don't know about my plan. They don't know what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I did have two friends there that do know.
You knew about your plan.
Yeah.
So what were you thinking about?
With the overeat, by that time, I already had the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And I already knew I went off plan. So I might as well just go full-fledged off plan.
I might as well just cash it in, right?
Right. I've been good all week. F it.
Oh, that's a good one. I've been good all week.
And then there goes my weight loss I had. It'll be a huge gain.
Yes. Here we go. Here's the judgment. Right?
Right.
Might as well. There goes my weight loss. Right?
Right. Might as well make it worth it.
So when you think these thoughts, these are judgments, right? This is very similar to, well, you know, I didn't get it, so I may as well just eat. Maybe I'll never get this. I don't know. I sure can't do this when I'm drinking wine. There's all kinds of dialogue going on in your head about this. And the way we know that this is self-judgment is because you decided to get up and restrict the next day. Right?
Right.
So why did you get up and restrict? Why did you decide to restrict? What was
because I knew, I gained like 5 pounds overnight. And I'm sure half of it was sodium. I don't know. Or all the food I ate. And then, so I felt like, well, what can I do to get weight down tomorrow? What can I do? So, you know, I skipped breakfast, but I slept through breakfast because I got home late. Mm-hmm. So I'm not usually hungry until 10:30, 11 anyway. My lunch was listed as like carrots and dip, and then dinner was a normal dinner. And then I wasn't really hungry. I had a few moments of light hunger during lunchtime and afternoon, but I thought, well, let me just drink some more water. And then I really wasn't hungry till dinner. And I don't know if that's because I...
Because you overate the night before.
And mm-hmm.
then
okay. That's your body is reacting exactly like it's supposed to. It's processing everything you put in it. It's working its way through your system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, deciding not to eat because you're not hungry is not restricting.
Deciding right.
Carrots for lunch is restricting because I got to make up for yesterday.
Right. Exactly.
What you should have done is made a realistic plan,
mm-hmm.
drink your water, and paid attention to hunger. Those are the next three steps. If you actually passed this self-judgment phase and you were looking at, all right, I don't like the way that turned out. Nobody cares. It's not a thought I want to think. What can I do today? Step three would have been really pay attention to my hunger scale and drink my water. That's it.
Yeah. So instead of putting carrots for lunch, put a realistic plan like any other day and then just see if I'm even hungry for it.
Exactly. When you go into self-judgment, you take away all logic, you know, because you're in this emotional cycle of saying nasty things to yourself.
Yeah.
So there's no, you know, what should I do next that really makes sense? Carrots for lunch doesn't make sense to a lot of people. Doesn't make sense to me. And if you said that was restricting, it doesn't make sense to you either.
Right.
Okay. Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I mean, even though, yeah, my plan was to restrict, at least I did really pay attention to if I'm really hungry or not. So
logically you did enter into the next day correctly. Okay. Mm-hmm. You just got to bypass this piece.
Yeah. The ugly thoughts.
Yeah. Because that doesn't help. The ugly thoughts don't help anything. You know, a lot of people think I'm motivated when I tell myself, you know, I might as well, you know, that when I tell myself, like, you're not, you're never motivated by beating yourself up.
Yeah.
Right. Does that help?
Yes, it does help. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. See you later. Right.
See ya.
Lori, you're next. You coming? Said you were joining. Maybe it's hung for a minute. What happened to Lori? All right, let's try somebody else. I'm not sure where Lori went. Nancy. See if you come up for me. Here comes somebody. Oh, it's Nancy. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Cool. Hi. So good to meet you. I've watched a lot of things and never been on our call before. So.
Oh, where are you? Where do you live? Where are you from?
I'm in New Zealand, so I'm currently working.
New Zealand. I'm
yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're quite far away.
So what's up, Nancy?
I sent a few questions earlier. I'm the defiant eater.
Oh, I'm so glad you raised your hand.
Yeah, I'm struggling and I can't figure it out. So far, I'm a January baby, mm-hmm. and I haven't actually really managed to lose any weight. Okay. I've not been 100% consistent, but I've had some major breakthroughs in terms of the quantities I'm eating and things. Like, I'm generally, like, things are happening, just not seeing any results yet. Okay. I'm focusing on trying to do my 24-hour plans.
Okay.
And at first, I still thought the plan was very realistic. It's probably what I'd eat in a typical day, but I found myself reaching for extra stuff, for extra toast or chocolate. So I thought, okay. So I started putting more of that stuff on my plan. Mm-hmm. And so now my planner gets full up of food options. I like food options. I feel something about the freedom of that mm-hmm. works for me.
Okay.
But at the same time, even though I have a plethora of options on my plan to choose from, I find myself always jumping at things that aren't on my plan. So yesterday I have toast, I have smoothie, I have all sorts of stuff in my plan. And I never eat cereal. We have a box of like stale cornflakes at the back of our cupboard. And that's what I ended up eating yesterday. And I can't understand. I don't know if it's fear or if it's a, you know, a freedom thing or a belly. I can't figure out why, when I've got so many things on my plan that I do want to eat and I like, I'd rather choose something that's not on it. Do you know what I mean?
You think it's defiant or rebellious or something like that?
Yeah, I feel like it is only because I seem to jump at the opportunity. So if anybody offers the opportunity to go out to eat or anything, I jump at that. It's like it must have some sort of excitement or thrill for it.
All right, so I'm going to put that in your action line. Do you know the model? Have you been to MBS? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put jump at the opportunity to eat off plan in your action line. And I'm going to put defiant or rebellious in your feelings line. Okay?
Yeah.
Rebellious is my word, so I probably shouldn't put it in there, but I'm doing it anyway.
No, it's a good word. Rebellious is also what I'd call it.
Good. So when you are defiant and rebellious about your 24-hour plan, what else are you doing?
Could be anything. It could be working. It could be sitting watching TV. There doesn't seem to be a particular circumstance when it happens. In general, I'm quite a stressy person. I have a lot of mental battles with myself a lot of the time, and stress out probably a lot more than necessary. So kind of my constant state feels pretty stressed out. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to think about it. And like yesterday it was in the morning, and usually my mornings are great. I usually don't eat till 2 o'clock in the afternoon because I don't get hungry. Mm-hmm. But yesterday morning I ate the cereal, but it could be that at night, you know, there's some old something in the cupboard and that's what I reach for, even though I've bought fresh chocolate to have on my plan. Like
it doesn't seem a thought in your mind. When you think about that cereal or the thing that's not on your plan, that's in the cupboard, what is the thought?
Just
getting the defiance. What thought? Why are you feeling defiant?
Like that sounds good, and I don't know. This is where I'm getting stuck because I'm not aware of any particular thought. It's not like I'm sitting there going, I deserve it or I should have it. It's kind of like I think about the cereal and go, that sounds good. Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
Okay, that sounds good. Do you even think about the plan in the moment? It's okay if you don't.
It's hard because I literally have it on my desk at all times so that it's there. And I do think about it, and then as quick as I think about it, it's like I've fluttered that thought away and gone, no, let's do it. It sounds good.
So what if the feeling isn't defiant? I think you're judging it as defiant.
Okay.
I think you're saying, I'm just this chick who jumped at anything, you know? I think that's kind of a judgment. What if it's just impulsive?
Yeah, I am very impulsive. Right? Yeah, that's the definite personality trait.
Okay.
Yeah.
Easily suggested, you know? What if it's just, you know, like squirrel food? I want that. And eat it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what it's impulsive to me rather than rebelling against the plan.
Okay.
It sounds to me like you don't have any trouble creating the plan, making it realistic.
Yeah.
You're just easily distracted and impulsive when it comes to food.
Yeah. That sounds legitimate.
Okay. So you jump at the opportunity to eat off plan or just to eat, right? Whatever.
But then wouldn't I just eat the toast that's on my plan I give myself extra chocolate bars and I can tell myself, no, I'm not going to have the extra chocolate bars. Mm-hmm. But if they're not, like if somebody's like, oh, but here's donuts. I'm like, I don't even give a crap about donuts. But if it just seems to be like, if an opportunity arises, I don't know, maybe like I feel like I'm scared of missing out or something.
Oh,
like,
maybe that's it.
Maybe. You know, like if I don't jump at the opportunity won't come up again, you know?
Yeah. Is that true?
No, because I could just go and buy my own some donuts if I wanted to.
Scared of missing out. What's the worst thing that happens if you say no to donuts?
I just don't eat the donut.
Right? You have to sit with it.
Yeah, but I can do that if it's on my plan. Like, I sit there and I go, oh, I'm wanting some more chocolate. Mm-hmm. And then I think, but it's okay. It'll pass. I'm not going to die. And then I'm fine. But, like, for some reason, if it's not on my plan, it's almost as if I can't do that mental.
Oh, you can. You're just not doing it.
Mm.
Okay? So you never tell yourself, I can't do that. You tell yourself, I'm going to figure out. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to learn a way that I can do this. I'm going to learn. I'm going to try things until I figure out why I jump when donuts come in the room or why I eat stale cereal because it's not on my plan.
Yeah.
That's where journaling comes in. That's where discovery worksheets come in.
Yeah, I'm not good at doing those either.
Right. You can't tell yourself, I don't know about anything. Because those words, I don't know, block your wisdom. They completely shut down you looking for a solution.
Mm.
Say, I don't know. Your brain says, well, we're done here.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. So every time you eat off plan,
yeah,
you have to do a discovery worksheet. I would go ahead and print 50 of them. Seriously, I would. I've got a big old stack of them over here.
Okay. And do you just keep them in like a stack or do you try and flip them in your journal on the right days? Like what, how are they useful after the fact?
That's a personal decision. That's something that you can decide. I know MJ will clip them to the page in her plan.
Yeah.
Get her, you know, where she went off plan. I keep them in a stack. I don't keep them with my plan. I keep them separate just so I can look through them periodically to see if I see trends. You know, what thought led me to this? You know, if I see the same thought coming up, I'm like, maybe that's one I should work on. Maybe that's one I should figure out.
Yeah.
So either way is fine. Whatever, you know, however you'll do it is the way you need to do it. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know how this is. It's figuring out why you're scared of missing out, why you're impulsive or rebellious, or whatever it is, and why you jump at the opportunity to eat. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that we can just solve this on a call without you doing a bunch of discovery worksheets. I would love to see you do 20 or 25 of them and come to office hours.
Yeah. I need to come back with some data.
Yes. I think that would be fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, okay. How often does it happen? What time of day does it happen? What's going on when it happens? That's the trends that you look for that really start to open up how you fix it. When you start to see those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll do that. Well, yeah. Just a quick question.
Sure.
I think part of me is starting to lose a bit of hope. Like I kind of don't believe it's possible or going to happen. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular, I'm not all the way through the No BS course yet. Is there a particular video or something I can jump to kind of deal with those ideas?
Great question. My favorite video on the whole site is the commitment video and orientation.
Okay.
I think everybody needs to listen to that one like once a month.
Okay.
Because she's so good at describing why you need to commit to yourself. Okay. Yeah. But honestly, I would finish No BS. Especially that phase three that's all about the overeating and the urges and how to, do you ever have times when you think about the cereal in the cupboard and you don't eat it? I bet you do.
Yeah. Like sometimes I feel, but it's funny because it's the same feeling of like defiance and like,
yeah, well, that's what you think the feeling is. It could be something else. You know, that's what comes up for you initially. It could be something else. Journaling will reveal that to you.
Okay.
But there's a successful urge worksheet in No BS that is gold because what you do, you know, let's say you had an urge after we get off the call to go downstairs and have a candy bar and you say, no, I'm just going to stay here and finish my work or finish this call or whatever. Pull out that successful urge worksheet and you document the fact that you said no to an urge and why.
that helps reinforce that you can say no to urges, that you can come out on the back end feeling really good about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I need to get all these papers and actually do the work.
For you, I would really spend some time in phase three. It's really great. She combined a lot of former programs that she used to have on the site into phase three, and it's really, really good stuff. And I think that it will help you with this impulsive, defiant, rebellious urge eating that you're doing.
Yeah.
And remember this too. There's, when you joined, you're all excited, new program, right? You start to do the work and you're all in. You're committed, you're ready to go. Then it starts to get tedious. It starts to get a little hard. You start to have thoughts about food again. You know, it's not as easy as it was. And that's normal. Totally normal.
Yeah, I'm actually just really proud I'm still here in March.
Show up every day and do a new plan and get to work. Means that eventually, after a little while, it's going to become routine for you and it's not going to feel as hard. But pushing through this part here where it seems a little hard and I'm not really doing anything, showing up every day. Just Mary Jo said one time, she quit smoking because she got up every day and said, I'm not having a cigarette today.
Mm. Yeah, that's what we do in our accountability group too. We started being like, oh, I'll do 30 days. And then somebody was like, oh, no, we'll just do one day at a time. And it was good. Yeah.
There's such magic in one day at a time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep showing up for one day and it will cook you. Okay.
Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. See you later.
Bye.
All right. Let's do one more. Kira. Oh, wait, Lori's back. All right. We'll do two more. Kira and Lori. Lori, I'm calling you up. Let's see if we can get you back on here.
Hello.
Let's get your video started.
Okay. I've never done this before. Oh, there we go. Okay.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
So I am hearing like the last caller very much identifying with a lot of what she said. I put a question in here. I'm a September baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lost anywhere between 8 and 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I have 2 pounds that keeps going up and down, and I'm really discouraged and really want to figure this out. And that's why I'm on here, because I'm going to figure this out. I don't want to just.
So did you do your habit tracker for February?
I did my habit tracker for February.
All right.
I did.
Tell me what your percentages look like.
So 87% for planning and evaluating, because every day that I do a plan, I evaluate the day before that day.
All right.
The water, probably 90%, even more than that, probably 99%, because I always meet my water goal. Food, it's going off plan. So I'm around an 88%.
So following plan is 88%.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's 88% of the plans that you made, right?
Yes.
Okay. What about hunger scale?
Hunger scale, I had a vertical sleeve gastrectomy 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really do not get hungry. It's hard for me to feel hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wait until, like, I'll get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I won't eat until like 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
10:30. I'll have coffee and try to get at least 36 ounces of water
mm-hmm.
in before I have my first meal.
Okay.
So like hunger scale, I don't know if I'm hungry. I know when I'm emotionally eating.
So how often do you think you emotionally eat? Once a week.
How many times a week? At least once or twice.
All right.
At least once or twice.
So twice.
And I went, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Get my calculator. Keep talking.
I find it when on my days off, I work a lot. I'm sitting in front of the television set and I live alone and my whole world shuts off. I work between three hospitals and I feel like that's just me relaxing, watching Netflix. And it's like a treat to myself, you know, to just shut everything off in front of the TV, which is, I know, not good, but that's what I do.
That happens twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So twice, 2 out of 7 is 28%. So we're going to give this hunger scale about a 72% success. That sound reasonable?
That sounds reasonable, yes.
Okay. What about sleep? You good on sleep?
Sleep, I'm good. I'm going to just turn my phone around. I don't want you to get dizzy. Maybe once or twice a week. I work 13-hour shifts. So there's always like one day in the week where if I can't sleep, I'm also in menopause and my sleep and hot flashes. And even when I have a perfect week, mm-hmm. I still do not lose weight. And I don't know what the hell is going on. My body's just...
Well, if you're eating in front of the TV twice a week, you're not having a perfect week. That's the first thing to clean up.
Yes.
Okay. Because that mindless eating, the distracted eating like that, that stuff will get you because you really don't realize how much you're eating when you're eating distracted. Mm. Right? Nobody sits down with a chip bag or, you know, whatever in front of the television and is really, really 100% focusing on their food. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're not losing, you have to, it's almost always the hunger scale. Almost always the hunger scale. So I would see what I could do about stopping the nighttime distracted eating, the Netflix eating.
Okay.
Okay. 100%. That's what I'd look at. Maybe what you do is you plan a snack for that time mm-hmm. and you portion it out.
Okay.
You know, or you tell yourself, if I'm hungry, I'll have an apple. That was my thing. When I lost my weight, I was all about knowing if it was emotional hunger or physical hunger based on whether or not I wanted an apple. And I like apples. But if an apple didn't sound good, then I wasn't hungry. I wasn't
That's
physically.
A good idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Sound good?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Bye. All right, Kira. Thanks for waiting. So, do you want to know what a good habit tracker is? There's an amazing habit tracker in the planner, in the PNP planner. And if you do not have a planner, you can go to pnptribe.com. and print out a habit tracker. It looks like this. Hang on. Just a second, Kara. Oh, I might not be able to hear you. Hang on. It looks like this. It's a box with a bunch of circles in it. And it totally works. So, Duber, this is what I would do. I love the thing because I have this discussion with myself about how if I go off plan, I can't check the box. Checking the box is important to me. What's up, Kira?
Can you hear me now?
You're kind of soft over there. Can you turn up your mic?
I'm not sure. Try. Unmute. Sure what else to do.
Well, talk loud.
Okay. Get really close here.
That's good. That's better.
So I missed the very beginning of this call. I didn't get on until about 6:30 my time.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely everything I've heard since then feels really relevant. I joined without a lot of weight to lose. Like I've got about 12 pounds to goal weight.
Mm-hmm.
I had already lost 20 about a year ago. Several years before that, I had lost about 25 and kept it off for four years.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that that's all possible.
Yep.
And I'm not making any headway right now. And I feel like I've gotten stuck in this place where I can do all the thought work, but I still have these, when it actually comes to the food in front of me, it's like, ah, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not at my minus two, but guess what? I'm going to eat anyway, because like, I just don't have the energy to manage this or something. I think that's what I'm telling myself.
Yeah. Well, that's a great thought to hear. Honestly, I don't have the energy to manage this.
There's been a lot going on in my life, but I don't like to use that as an excuse.
I'm glad that you see this, right?
Yeah.
Because you're managing everything else. Why can't you manage taking care of yourself?
I don't know.
What is food solving for you?
That's where I'm stuck.
What is food solving for you?
So one thing that I noticed, like a lot of stuff went on. I'm a January baby, and soon after I joined, I got really sick and then had something of a falling out with my boss and ended up switching roles at work a little bit. And I'm in a new office now, and I noticed the last couple of days that like every time I walk back into my office, I'm a school administrator, so I'm all over the building, and then I'll come back to my office, and I got really conscious all of a sudden about like every time I walk into my office, I think that I somehow like need or deserve or, you know, have to have something. Like if I can't eat, then at least I need like a mint or a piece of gum, or like something's got to keep me going, because, you know, I just went and did this classroom visit and now I'm back in my office. And it's where my mind goes.
So why do you need a mint when you walk in the office? Not allowed to say, I don't know. If you had to guess, why would you need a mint when you go in the office?
It's a reward somehow. It's like, it'll help me be in a better mood, be happier, be more okay about what's going on.
Will it?
No.
No.
But in the moment, it feels like that's just, it's that little pick-me-up that maybe is going to give me the energy to do something else I need to do.
So that's the thought error. Do you know what a thought error is? It's one of the thousands of thoughts that your brain throws at you every day. It's just not true. When Corinne told me that I didn't have to believe everything I thought, it was like fireworks went off in my head. I mean, seriously. And it wasn't that long ago she told me this. I was like, what? Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true.
And I do know that. I mean, I had done a lot of work like 20 mm-hmm. years ago that feels really aligned with this work in a lot of good ways around thinking and being powerful in the world and mm-hmm. you know, and not just accepting everything that you think. So that's why I was glad that became conscious for me. I was like, oh, look, every time you open the door to your office, you think you deserve a treat, like a dog, you know, what?
Right. There's probably something about walking into your office that feels transitioning to you. You know, after a visit to a classroom or a visit with a, you know, or a meeting or something, you get to go back into your office and go, just the desk now, you know, just whatever's here or something like that. There's some sort of transition for you. And you have decided, and your brain has decided that you just need that little bit of happy that comes with a mint or comes with a dopamine hit when you walk into your office. But you see that now. And you see that, you know, I don't need a reward for going back to my office. So you just talk back to it. No, that's not a thought that I choose to give any relevance to. That's not who I am anymore. You clean up those little edges like that, then your weight's going to start coming off.
So I guess where the I don't have the energy for this thought comes in is that if I say, okay, I'm not going to have that little piece of chocolate or that little mint or whatever, you know, because I can recognize that that's what that is. Then I feel like I spend the rest of the time managing that thought process.
All right, let's do this model because this is your unintentional model. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about how to create a new thought. All right. So this is work. I don't have the energy for this. Left out a word. What's the feeling?
I was going to say tired, but it's not exactly that. It's more like burned out, maybe.
Okay. And when you feel burned out,
make sure you speak up. When you feel burned out, how do you act?
I just stop trying to manage things like what I'm putting in my mouth.
Yeah. Stop trying to manage things.
Yeah, somebody's writing defeated. That's.
Yeah, defeated is a good place. This is a good place for defeated. And the result is you don't have the energy to lose weight. You don't give yourself the energy to lose weight. Okay? You don't put any energy behind your weight loss. Okay? So let's say we're going back into your office at work and you hear that thought. This is going to be the intentional model. You hear the thought. You should have a snack. You're tired. You don't have the energy to handle this. How can you answer that thought realistically?
I mean, the way I'd like to is just to be like, okay, I'm going to do something else. Like, I'm going to put my energy into something else where I'm not even thinking about whether or not I'm having a snack.
Yeah, but you don't have the energy to do anything right now. And that's leading to the snack, right? Because you're feeling burned out, defeated.
I feel like I have the energy for a work project still.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
It's the managing what I eat that I feel like I don't have the energy for.
Oh. So that's interesting. So what if you hear the thought, I just don't have the energy to manage this food thing? And you answer it with, well, I have energy for work. Maybe I do have energy for this.
So it might be a case of I'm working on believing. That if I have energy for work, I have energy for weight loss. For work, I have energy for weight loss.
Is that a stretch? Or is that something you can play with?
No, I can play with that.
All right. So how does that make you feel? And don't say empowered or confident or ready to change the world. Right? Because you're just working on believing here. So maybe you're open. Maybe you're aware or you're curious or something like that, right?
Yeah, I'd say curious.
Curious.
Okay, let me see if that could be true.
All right. Are you curious by nature?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you're curious, you're doing things like trying new things, right?
Changes in schedule, you know, whatever. Change schedule. I'm writing fast now. New thoughts, journaling, all those things, right? Anything else?
I don't know if it's really an action, but I'm just noticing as you're writing that like, yeah, I do that stuff all the time. I'm actually trained as a scientist, so I'm all about experimenting with
anything. So all you have to do is apply that mindset to food.
And I do,
uh-huh.
But then what I've noticed in the past couple of weeks is I that's where I'm feeling burnt out. Like, I'm tired of trying some all these different things and none of them are working. And then, you know, the other little voice says, that's okay. You've got data. You found out that those things don't work, or you found out that they didn't work yet, and maybe you should try them a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd listen to that voice. I mean, you're having the conversation in your head that I was talking to somebody else about. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to that voice that's going, you know what, we can figure this out. Maybe I need to leave two bites behind today and see what happens. Maybe I need to sub out potato chips for baked chips. Maybe I need to, you know, level something else up. Maybe I need another glass of water. Let's try something new because I'm a scientist and I can figure this out.
I think I'm just also impatient by nature.
Oh, well, that's another model.
Now.
Yeah. So is everyone. Who, tell me, anybody on this call who wouldn't love to join PMP and their weight loss be done?
12 pounds, I'll join for 2 months, I'll quit, I'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm actually a pound more than I started.
That's where you go back to this action line, right? Because the action line creates the result. And your result line for this model would be that you are working on finding ways to find progress. Finding progress. Okay. Sometimes, especially, have you listened to module 4 of No BS, the last 20 pounds? Listen to it again. You got to get super duper curious when you're within 20 pounds. And you got to get super duper uncomfortable with how much you're eating and when you're eating and question everything. Because that's where just the least little things can trip you up and keep you in maintenance. I think what you're struggling with, I could be wrong, you just tell me, is I don't want to eat less or level up my food. I just want to lose the 12 pounds and be done.
Yeah, I want it to be easy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So for you, maintenance at this weight is easy. That's where you get to decide, do I want easy or do I want 12 pounds? Because you could stay where you are and be done. If you really want 12 pounds, you got to put aside easy and make it a little less easy. I'm not saying it's going to be hard. It's just not going to be as easy as it is right now. Make sense?
Yep.
All right. Good call. Anything else? All right. Take care. All right. You guys, I'm done. It's been an hour and a half. Let's call it quits. I want to remind you of the 31 Days of Planning Challenge. Started yesterday. Guess what? If you didn't start yesterday, it's okay. You're still up for winning the prize. All right. Just start today. 31 days or 30 of plans. Develop that commitment to yourself right now. If you report what you did, perfect or not, at the end of the month, you're going to get a prize, okay? Just do it in your accountability groups. Talk to each other about it. Show up for yourself. And on those days, the most important days are the days you forgot to plan and plan the next day. That day after the mistake is the most important day. So keep on coming back, writing those plans, and when March 31st comes along, fill out the little survey and get your prize. Okay? Guys, have a great night. I'll see you later.